Three, two, one. You're in the championship series. There's something special about that.
There sure is. It's been a different feeling amongst the guys, and championship series is a lot different. And you know, we're stepping up. We had two great games in Chico. Had a chance, probably more of a chance to win the second one, or the first one than we did the game we won. Had a lot of chances, but the guys played hard. And that's really all you can ask, to go up there and get a split and come back here and have a chance to win two or three at home to win it. We're right where we want to be.
I got to ask you, it seems to me like on those semifinals, Northern and Southern, that there's a lot more strong intensity, and it's almost like it's a blessing for both teams to be in the championship.
You know, it almost seems like that. There's probably a little bit more nervousness, at least there was in probably game one. Game two of this championship series is probably gone a little bit, but I think now it's just go out and play, and you know, hopefully there's no complacency, because that's the last thing you need. But the Yuma series was huge. For one of the reasons was Yuma came out so pumped up, and I thought I was back in college coaching at Dixie State, the way that the other team was acting with Yuma. And we went down there, and it kind of gave us a little bit more incentive to win. This is a little bit more laid back. Just go out and play and see how you do.
Let's talk about that game number one. I'm going to ask you about these first two games. That one ended up in extra innings, and you came very close to winning that.
You know, we had chances all throughout the game. It went 11 innings, and you know, we hit a lot of balls hard, as did they. And there was a lot of great defensive plays made in that first game. Yoshimuno Wakita came in and did an incredible job and gave us six innings of well-pitched baseball, or five or six. Montgomery for them came in and did the same thing. They matched each other pitch for pitch, and then Bennett came in on one day's rest after throwing four innings for Chico, and got Heath to pop up. And it was just one of those games that you watch on TV late in October for Major League Baseball. It had that kind of intensity to it. You almost felt like, shoot, if you can get the leadoff guy on, you're going to win this game. They end up getting the leadoff guy on in the 11th inning and won it on a bloop single to left field. And, you know, ball skipped away from Joe a little bit, made a good throw to home, and they end up, I think it was Scott, ended up sliding in safe. Nothing more you can ask, just to play hard and have a chance to win them at the end of the games. And we were in the similar situation in game two. Chico had a lot of chances. They hit a lot of balls hard. We turned two or three key double plays. We hit a lot of balls hard right at them, and I would have never guessed that we would have had a 1-0 game up at Chico to win it. So I'm pleased to get out of there with a split and come here and try to give it our all and see what we can do.
Let me go back to that first game a little bit. Borges, their pitcher, seems like you hit him better early, and then he settles in against you guys.
You know, I think all of their starting pitching is just great. I mean, they're going to come right at you. Zipser did a great job in game two. Just was really incredible. And Niebla actually started the first game for them, the left-hander. But you know, he could not throw his fastball over the plate for the first five innings. But what he did a good job of, and you know, he's a veteran pitcher. He would throw his curveball when he was behind, and he would throw his fastball just to entice you a little bit out of the zone. But he really settled down and just started nitpicking a little bit at us and coming in on us, throwing the ball in, and just did a great job. We didn't capitalize as much as I thought we should have in the first couple innings. We leave Rod on second base in the third inning. We don't move. He was on with – he drove in, I believe it was Tim. And we left him out there, you know, with 6-7-8 coming up. Couldn't get him over to third and couldn't drive him in. So that was, I think, a key. It was 5-0 at the time, and a key hit there gives us a 6-0. You know, believe it or not, 6-0 seems a little bit farther than the 5-0, more than one run. But I think the key to their game was obviously Montgomery and Bennett coming in and shutting them down. And Niebla really settled down and did a good job. We'll see Borges Saturday night, which is they consider their best guy. You know, I think they've got four best guys as starters. I don't think any one of them is less than the other ones, and that's why they're so tough.
Let's talk a little bit about last night again, or the 2 nights ago, your last game up there. Mike Smith, that was just an amazing piece of pitching, and he can do it.
You know, he was in jam. He didn't have his best stuff, believe it or not, but he just kept battling. You know, I don't think he was getting consistently the low strike call, but he just battled through it. He pitched through the umpiring, and just time after time after time, got a key pop up, got a key double play, and even go to the, you know, I walked out there in the, I think the eighth inning when Ray Brown was up, and had all intentions of bringing Matt Rubel in to face the left-hander. And I walked out and I said, "Smitty, how do you feel?" And he just said, I'm feeling great." And so it told me right then that I better leave him in, because he's probably not going to leave anyway if I take him out. And so we left him in, and you know, Heath said, who was catching him, said he looks good. And so those two together kind of told me that, you know, let's leave him in, and it ended up working out for us. But he's a bulldog. He threw about 120 pitches and gave us exactly what we needed.
No, that first batter in the ninth inning lines a single off his ankle.
Yeah, and I think what Mike was actually trying to do is Freddie was playing him up the middle, and I think he was actually trying to pull his glove back to let Freddie just catch the ball, and you know, pulled it back at the wrong time, hit his ankle, and kind of skidded through. But then he comes back and gets a key ground ball. We thought they were going to bunt. You know, they went away from what you would do statistically, which is fine. I mean, sometimes you have to do that. We made some of those moves the last couple games that could easily be second guessed, but that's kind of what we've done all year, and that's what we've stayed with. They were trying to go for the kill. They didn't want to go extra innings. They wanted to win it in the ninth, and so they didn't bunt, and we were fortunate because we got a double play out of Clark. And again, if Mike leaves the ball right over the middle of the plate, you know, it might be a double, but it makes a good pitch, and we turn it up the middle.
I know in that game one up there, there seemed to be some defensive problems that you ran into, which is kind of unusual for your team.
Well, we had four errors, but really they were kind of cheap errors. They weren't field it and throw it away type errors. They were, you know, a ball skipping away from a guy here, and Freddie, the ball gets kicked out of his glove on a tag. Errors like that, which, you know, to me are just part of the game. We didn't really throw it around. I thought we played actually two great defensive games. The four errors were kind of – I don't think the four errors really cost us anything, except for maybe the pickoff, the first third pickoff with Brian Mazzone, who let a run in. But I almost thought the game was 5-4 when Brian Mazzone came in, when I brought him in, and we actually called that play. You know, I told him to do it. In fact, Rod McCall says, we might throw it away here. And I said, well, if we don't feel comfortable doing it, let's not do it. If you do, let's do it. Anyway, Rod called it, and the ball got away from him, and they tied it up. But I almost felt better with one out and a man on first than I did with the score now tied than I did with being down, them down a run first third, because it seems like there was less pressure on us just to go on Brian, just to go in there and throw it. And so we ended up getting out of it just one run.
Second night, defensively, you made some great plays and some tremendous plays when you needed them.
We did. You know what? They made more plays than we did. they dove in left, they dove in center, they dove at third. In fact, Durkak's been playing great at third base, been making plays that, you know, you usually just don't see. Short hops and dives to his right. And we made some great plays, too. We played great defense. Rod's had a lot of picks over there. Brian's played an excellent second base. They've been those kind of plays that are a little bit more difficult than your average play. That if you're not quite up to par, you're not going to make those plays, and Brian's made every single one of those plays. And so, and obviously Freddie's had an incredible series, both at Yuma and here, with Chico at shortstop. And we're running down everything in the outfield. So just playing great defense all the way around.
We'll be back to talk about tonight's ball game after this timeout. 3-2-1. Manager Mike Littlewood, now you got to be home. have to handle it from here on.
That's right. You know, last road trip of the year, and it was pretty successful. Looking at our past experiences up at Chico, to go in there and just literally gut it out and get a win up there. And you know, now being at home is again what we, if you were to say, if you can win the championship series, only having to win two or three at home, would you want to do that? You know, I think everybody in our clubhouse would say most definitely. So we're in the situation we want to be in. It's just a matter now of going out and getting the job done.
Let's talk about this matchup tonight as Chico and the Zion Pioneers go head-to-head. You've had some interesting matchups here in this ballpark.
Yeah, we have. You know, really, a couple times we play them and go, zips are through against us. We score eight runs, and then we end up losing it. We score eight in the first couple innings. when Jeff Garf came in, the wind was blowing about 70 miles an hour out, and they score 11 runs in one inning. And we've also had some close ones. I don't expect a 1-0 game, nor anything close to that. Hopefully our guys will just go in and stay with our line drive swings that we had at Chico and Yuma and not try to lift the ball out of here. That's when we get in trouble. And to be honest with you, it sometimes plays an important part how the other team swings it. When the other team sees the short fences and they even look shorter because they're 12 feet tall and 20 feet in center, it makes them look even closer. And so guys think, oh, all I need to do is lift the ball and it's going to jump out of here. When in actuality, you have to hit the ball decent to get it out of here. You don't most definitely don't have to just turn on it and hit a big line drive, but you do have to hit it decent to get it out of here. Hopefully that'll work to our advantage.
You made mention about hitting the line drives when your team so far, they have plenty of power, and when they hit the line drives, they do carry.
Yeah, definitely. Robert Muro, when the game was at Yuma, game was tied 5-5 and hits the gap in right center with the line drive. Those are the type of swings we need. Rod McCall's been swinging the bat very well lately, and what I liked from him in BP was he's hitting line drives the other way and not just trying to jack him to right field. And I think everybody understands what we need to get this thing done here, and it's basically going to be put three or four hits together, get Kalen and Joe on a little bit for us and play defense, and whoever plays the best is going to win. It's there's right now I don't think one team's a lot better than the other.
Let's talk about pitching tonight. Who do you go with?
Well, it's interesting. We're going with Brian Mazzone, and he's well rested. He threw one inning up there, and to me, I like the matchup right now. I think with all their left-handers, I think Brian might be able to neutralize those guys a little bit. All Brian needs to do is go in with a bulldog attitude. If they're going to hit the ball out of the park or hit seven consecutive hits off him, whatever, that's fine. I want Brian just to go in and be real aggressive. Pitch like he has all year long, and he's the guy we would want on the mound right now. It's just that there's no doubt about it. He's been there for us all year, and so we want him tonight. We've got Jeremy Thomas in the pen that's real fresh, hasn't thrown a whole lot, one inning in the first series, and so he's fresh. And all our left-handers are ready to go, plus Mark Pichota, our closer, is ready. So pitching sets up real well for us right now, and I just hope Brian goes out with the bulldog attitude that he's had all year and gets it done for us tonight.
We were talking about how many pitchers that you have are available right now. This may be too much of a leading question. Mike Smith gives you a complete game. How much does that help the rest of your staff?
Oh, most definitely it helps. One thing it does is doesn't let Chico see too many arms from our bullpen. They haven't seen any of our left-handers in a long time, month and a half, which is, it's probably a little bit of an advantage. The downside of that is we've got a lot of guys in the pen who haven't been thrown in games a whole lot. The only time we really got them some work is when we were down 10 runs against Yuma here, and that's kind of mop-up work where you're really not going out there having to get guys out. You're just kind of getting your work in. So, I like our chances. I really do. I like the way our pitching's lining up. Nate Yeske's throwing real well right now. And Yoshi's going to be ready again probably tonight, for sure tomorrow. So, I like our chances.
Let's talk about the rest of the lineup. One of the things that's happened in this is you're staying with one catcher.
Yeah, Heath has been, I feel bad for Chris Briones because he's helped us get here. He's been a huge part of us, of our success this year. But when you have a catcher like Heath and his defensive abilities, you have to just go with him. He got us a key out when they tried to bunt, and he threw Ruehrs out at second base on a throw behind, and it's interesting just to go back a little bit. He kind of foresaw that a little bit, because when I went out there to talk to Mike, I said, Mike, when they got the first two guys on, and I think it was Cooper or Scott, one of the guys, it was Scott who banged the ball off the plate to get their second consecutive guy on in like the seventh inning. And I walked out and I said, Mike, something good's going to happen for us right here. They're not going to get a bloop hit or a line drive or something they usually do here. We're going to get an out. And he says, yeah, when they try to bunt, let's try to backdoor him. Yeah, he said to Freddie. And, he throws a bullet down to second base. And, I'm not sure there's another catcher in our league, let alone on our team, that could do that. So, I think you have to just go with your best defensive guy right now. And there's no secret that Heath is a great defensive catcher. And a big reason that we won that game, too.
I've got to ask you, you're coaching, you're managing in this situation. Now that you're here, And I know this is, you've had a lot of great experiences, but this is new in this situation. What's your reaction?
You know, believe it or not, I just there's a certain calmness to me. I feel actually pretty calm as far as, you know, I don't feel like it's life or death if we have to win this thing. Obviously, like I told Andy the other day, we need to, you know, I want to win this because we put 4 months of our lives into this thing for 95 games, and I think the guys deserve it, and why not try to win it while you're here? But I've got it in perspective. It's not life or death if we win or lose it, and I think that's the way we have to approach it as far as the guys that take the field. Also, we just had to approach it as another game that has probably a little bit higher implications. But you know, nobody's going to remember 10 years from now if I won as a manager the Western League Championship. It's just not going to happen unless they look in that little book we've got. You know, so it's semi a pride thing, but I want it for the 21 guys that have been with us for 4 months that have just been working hard, and Randy and all the other guys, you know, for Pat and Dennis, who's here today. Those are the guys I want it for, and I think you know, they deserve it because they've been working hard and putting sweat and blood into this thing, and literally blood and a lot of torn up body parts for two more games, maybe three.
The key tonight.
Oh, there's no doubt it's going to be Brian Mazzone. His ability to go out there and go right at hitters, establish his strike zone as far as fastball first, and then work off that and throw his off-speed pitches for strikes. The way he's thrown 99% of the games this year, he needs to go out and do the same thing. And then us putting the ball in play. I don't see why we wouldn't score a few runs and then, again, play good defense and just kind of go out and play the way we have all the time, but there's no doubt the key is going to be Brian Mazzone.
Manager Mike Littlewood, thank you for being with us. Good luck tonight.
Great to have you back, Larry. I appreciate it, and good luck tonight.
Yeah. Three, two, one. Zion Pioneers manager Mike Littlewood. You got a win last night, just when you needed it.
We did. It didn't look good early. But, you know, the thing about that game is when I went out and talked to Brian Mazzone in the, I think it might have been the third inning, we were down 6-0, and he was in a little bit more trouble. And, you know, I told him, I said, you hold him right here or close to here, we're going to win this game. I had a good feeling about it. I felt like we were going to put up some runs. I didn't know that we were going to put up 14, obviously. I thought if we scored 8 or 9, that would be enough to win. And, you know, we did a great job coming back. I think the attitude in the dugout was such that we just never gave up, and really felt like if we just keep picking away, get a run here, get a run there, that pretty soon, you know, we get within three runs, and anything can happen in one inning at this park with a 3-4-run lead. They showed that. We showed that. So it was an exciting game.
I got to ask you before we go on to some other things. They score in two innings. You score in all the two innings. That was an interesting matchup.
Well, and I think that was real key for us because we fall down 6-0 and we get one and one and one, and then we get shut out, and then we get one, and you know, then we jump on it for seven. And what was interesting about that game is there's 25 runs scored and only three home runs. We, you know, both teams really hit the ball, and both teams played pretty good defense. It was just one of those games where there's a lot of momentum swings, and we just came out on top.
Let's going into that one, obviously, when you're suddenly down 6-0, that didn't look like it was going to be that big an inning, but you're suddenly down 6-0. What were your thoughts at that point?
Well, I thought the key at bat was Arnson getting the double down the line. Arnson's a guy that, you know, we should be able to really pitch well to, and he's going to put it in play and hit it hard a lot of times, but I think the key there was he's sitting dead red fastball. We throw him a fastball first pitch in a not a very good spot. And, you know, he hits a double down the line, and I think that kind of deflated us a little bit. But then on our offensive side, we put the pressure on them every single inning, and that was key for us. It seemed to really pay off because we weren't just going down 1-2-3, 1-2-3. Estes was having to throw some pitches, and it proved costly when they had to pull him, and Bennett wasn't ready for him last night, and Montgomery was tired. You could tell that. That wasn't the same Montgomery that we saw up in Chico. He was probably 2 or 3, maybe even 4 miles an hour short on his fastball, and his breaking stuff wasn't biting like it was. Similar to Yoshi, who came in and kind of was the same way. So, you know, I think both teams are in similar situations tonight with bullpens, and their starting pitchers, Borges, is going to be real tough tonight.
You faced him before. You hit him well early, and then he gets tougher midway through the game.
Well, I think any quality pitcher, if you just let him hang around and he struggles early, if you let him hang around and he gets to see a couple times, you know, he's probably going to get stronger if you don't keep putting the pressure on him and chase him. Niebla did that to us in game one. We score four on him in the first and one on him in the third and have a chance to put up some more runs in the third in game one and don't do it. And he just shuts us right down for three or four innings. And good pitchers are going to do that. I think Brian Mazzone did that last night. He settled down and started thinking, you know, shoot, if I throw this fastball in the outside corner and get ahead or throw a breaking pitch for strike one, it's a much easier game. And he started doing that, and he was real effective until he got a little bit tired. He threw a lot of pitches last night. If he would have been in the 90s, I would have left him in, but he was in the, you know, 110-15 range, and he was just getting a little tired. So, but I was proud of Brian. He really gutted it up.
It really was. Just run out of gas. You could only have so much.
It was, and I went out there and told him, you know, I want you to get Downing, lefty-lefty, and then we'll see what happens from then. And Downing took a pretty good swing, got a line drive to left that we caught. We made the switch, and, you know, it didn't work out the best on the switch, but we ended up winning the game. That's the number one thing.
I've got to ask you, you're in a situation, you're an 11-11 tie, and all of a sudden you have the bases loaded. Then the first run scores. What were your thoughts at that point? Is that going to be enough?
No, definitely not. My thought was, let's try to get as many as we can. That's why I didn't bunt Robert Miro on the first pitch. It's 11-11. You know, and I didn't think one run, I didn't feel comfortable with one run lead. I thought definitely four or five is going to be better than one. And Robert has a great at bat. I thought, well, okay, strike one, let's try to bunt him on the next pitch. Just to get him over, because we're sure to get one, instead of having him hitting double play. That's the worst thing that could have happened. Strike two, and then he really battles for a walk, and Tim comes up with a big hit. So it worked out for us, and Charlie did the same thing. Charlie Kerfeld, Chico's manager, did the same thing in game two. He decided not to bunt in the ninth inning, and they hit a ground ball double play, but he was going for the win. He didn't want to go extra innings and use more of his bullpen and kind of looking down the line. He's a great manager, and it didn't work out for him, but that's, you know, that's part of the game, and those are the decisions you have to make sometimes in a game.
Let's talk about your closer. Pejota comes in and struggles a little bit with his control right off the bat. Then he gets three strikeouts.
Well, what was great about, I think the key pitch probably in the game might have been Cooper's full count strike three that he swung at a slider down and away. Usually he won't do that. Usually he's going to be real patient, not swing at too many bad pitches, but that was real key. What I'm excited about now is that Mark Pejota came in, and he did struggle, and he's been struggling a little bit with his control, but the last three batters, and especially Ruhr's the last batter, really proved to me that maybe, you know, he's back on his game and going in there and being aggressive. That looked like the Pejota that was here, you know, the 95% of the time before this last week or two. So I'm excited about him, and I think we all have confidence in Mark coming in the game. If we even have a one-run lead here and shutting it down.
For Mark, maybe his biggest struggle coming into the early in the season anyway was against Chico. He had a little struggle up there at one time.
Yeah, he gave up one run, and the one run was kind of on a bloop hit, and he was pretty upset about that. But Chico's a good team. They're going to put the ball in play. And you know, he had three strikeouts last night, which was obviously key. But they've got guys like Brad Gennaro who's hurt and can't throw, but yet comes up with a big three-run home run off Yoshi. They've got those guys all the way through their lineup, and you know, you have guys like that, and you're always in the ball game. They don't strike out a whole lot, and they're pretty patient at the plate, so it makes them a pretty tough team to pitch to.
We'll be back. We'll talk about today's game and the schedule of this and what to look forward to after this timeout. Three, two, one. Manager Mike Littlewood, I know this is a little bit different situation here in St. George to play this early in the afternoon.
It is, and, you know, usually you look at September 15th, and it's going to be in the low 90s right around there, and it's probably 105 right now, it feels like it. You know, but we've got misters in our dugout, and, you know, considering the implications of this game, I don't think anybody's going to be worried about the heat. One nice thing is we've got Jeremy Thomas, who I purposely tried to keep on the side and not use him a whole lot, one inning in both playoff series. because I know that he's probably going to have to come in and throw four or five innings. And if it's today, he's going to probably welcome the rest he's had over the last week and a half. But that's kind of, I think, our ace in the hole right now is Jeremy being able to come in well-rested in the role that he really loves, coming off the bench in a game that we really need. And we've got Pechota there, so and basically all of our left-handers ready to go. So I feel really good about our pitching situation. It's going to be a matter of putting the ball in play and swinging it and keeping them, to 5-6 runs. And I think that's probably going to be the key.
You mentioned left-handers. You have plenty of left-handers. This is kind of a left-handed dominated hitting team.
Yeah, there's no doubt. They've got Scott, who's a switch hitter, and they've got Durkak, who's a switch hitter. And so you throw a right-hander up there, and they've got seven guys who hit left-handed. And so a left-hander is probably pretty effective against them. But I think Nate Yessi's going to be fairly effective against them tonight. All he's got to do is hit spots. And if we need a left-hander to go in against a lefty, then we can do that three times with our three left-handers in the pen. All well-rested. It's just a matter of those guys coming in, throwing strikes, and doing their job, getting the guy out.
Let's go to Nate, your starter tonight. Let's talk about the strength that he's shown for you since he's been with you.
You know, he really has. We started him off real slow. We had him at about a 50-pitch count his first couple outings. He just kept on continually getting more and more depth in his innings. Worked probably 110 pitches last outing. So, he's well-conditioned, too. He's in good shape. I don't think the heat, he's from Vegas. I don't think the heat's going to bother him very much. This is kind of what he's used to. And so, I look for him to have another strong outing. I don't look for a complete game or anything like that, but if he can get us deep into the game and have us have a chance to win when he leaves, that's all he has to do. And from there, we'll go to our pen and see what happens.
He's an interesting character. He doesn't say a whole bunch unless he really wants to. He's kind of quiet and very serious out there.
He is. You know, Nate's a thinker too. I mean, he's a student of baseball. There's some guys that are and some guys that aren't. He definitely is. He's always talking about different hitters. He probably knows the hitters better than anybody else, and he's played with a couple of these guys. I think he played with McNabb, and so he understands what's happening and knows how to pitch. And so you kind of, from a managerial standpoint, I'm excited to send a guy out there like that with a couple years Double-A experience who's been around and knows how to pitch, and he's going to handle himself well.
I've got to ask you, championship series, you end up losing in extra innings by one run. You have a 1-0 victory, and then last night it's 14-11. There is a variety in every one of these ball games.
There sure has been. And I don't know if it's maybe the atmosphere that was at Chico, knowing that, boy, you really have to hit it hard to get it out of this park or to hit a gap or whatever. Because there's only three home runs here. I mean, that in last night's game, that's not a lot of home runs. I mean, it's more than we had there. But I think here we really hit the ball well. We hit a lot of line drives, and as well as they did. And you talk about the type of game we had last night. We lose that game if Rod McCall doesn't make that play at first base, the diving play with bases loaded against Ray Brown with two outs, and I think it was in the third inning. That ball gets down the line, and the game's all of a sudden 9-0, and we're out of it. It's just tough to come back from 9-0. It's not impossible, but, so a lot of credit's got to be given to Rod. He's turned it up not only one notch, but two or three notches in this playoff series. He doesn't make that play, we lose that game last night. So not only putting up 14 runs, but also playing great defense is what is really, Brian Graybeck makes a great play, and Freddie's been playing great at short. Those are the type of plays that are going to win games for you.
It was, everybody was intense, obviously, but that one play by Rod McCall made everybody another step intense. It was, there's no question, the defense was there.
You know, you talk about momentum, and you think of momentum being kind of a football term or a basketball term, where you're going to score points off your defense and put the press on and steal it and make a layup. That's kind of what baseball's like, too. Baseball is a huge momentum sport, and we kind of rode that play into a run here and a run there and just kept building on it. Conversely, if he doesn't make the play, we probably get real down and guys go up to the plate thinking, we got to score nine. It's a different feeling than having to score five or six in this park where, a couple base hits, a double, now you're kind of back in the game. So you don't like to feel like that when you're on defense, but it sure is nice on offense when you know you have a chance to win.
We talked about some of the keys for this ball game, but if you were to say, okay, I'm going to point at the key or key or two, what will it take for the Pioneers to win outside of just scoring more runs?
Well, you know, obviously it starts on the mound. I think the key is probably going to be Nate Yeske going out there. And I really think I've felt this in the back of my mind the whole time, that I think probably the biggest key of all is going to be Jeremy Thomas coming out of the pen, and his ability to maybe throw two or three real quality innings for us and have Mark maybe shut these guys down. That's probably the biggest key of all, because I have confidence in our lineup that we're going to get our first couple guys on, and it changes our lineup so much, or the outlook on our batting order when Kalen gets on and Joe gets on, because they can just run at any time. So those guys getting on like they did last night is another big key for us, where Robert now can just feel like he's got to just hit a single and he's going to get a couple runs out of it. So, you know, both those things with Nate and getting our quick guys on, I think is huge. Freddie Diaz has been another big key for us, coming up with two outs and getting singles to score runs. And he's a clutch hitter, been doing it all year. And you look for him to almost just to do that every single night.
He does seem to get key hits, and is not, how can I say, it isn't that flashy with him, but he always seems to have key RBIs, key hits for you.
Yeah, and, you know, it seems like Freddie knows when he has to hit, you know, and he'll just he'll turn it up a little bit and just think, all right, this is one at-bat where I actually have to get a hit right here. I can't afford to fly out or ground out. And 80% of the time when he has to get a hit, he's going to do it. So, believe it or not, even though he hits nine, I mean, that's an important spot in our lineup. With him going up there and just knowing if you have two outs and your nine hitter's coming up, I'd love to have Freddie up anytime.
Mike Littlewood, this has been it's been fun to get back doing this, and thank you for being with us. Best of luck tonight.
Thanks a lot, Larry.